Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Ken Kratzer for Sons of the American Legion Radio on WVOX 1460 AM. And another edition of our COVID-19 series, talking to business and to government leaders. And we're going to be talking with a member of Congress. That is Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th Congressional District, just waiting for Congressman to join the call. He's been serving in Congress since 2013, extensive experience in government, worked for Bill Clinton in the White House, extensive experience in Albany, working on assets, including emergency preparedness. Is that the congressman? Nope, not, just waiting. And it looks like we lost him. I'll have to wait, see if he can rejoin the call. And we'll see if he's going to call back in. And we're just waiting for Congressman Maloney to call back in. And we're just waiting for Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, representing the 18th Congressional District in the Hudson Valley. Covers from Yorktown, Mount Kisco, Mayopac, Brewster, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, West Point, Stuart, Monroe, Middletown areas. And we'll talk a little bit about the COVID-19 response in his district, how the hospitals, healthcare providers, government services are holding out. And talk a little bit about the response of the military, the New York National Guard, Corps of Engineers, doctors and lawyers, doctors, nurses, and also the VA, Veterans Affairs helped. And talk a little bit about the payroll protection plan, the $2 trillion, part of the $2.2 trillion stimulus plan. Which has been very beneficial to small businesses. $349 billion has been issued, 1.6 million loans processed, but still 800,000 still to process, which would indicate that they need about another $175 billion at least. And we're just waiting for the congressman to call back in. Not doing 40 minutes, we're doing about 15. Congressman?
Calling him in now. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Aaron.
And I have the congressman here.
Hey, that's great. And it's Ken Kratzer for Sons of the America Legion Radio and Congressman Sean Patrick Baloney. How are you today, sir?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Real good, real good. You represent the 18th Congressional District just north of us in the Hudson Valley, covering Yorktown, Mount Kisco, Mayo Pack, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, West Point, where we do a lot of work, and west of the Hudson, Monroe, Middletown. How would you say your district, I know you cover both sides of the Hudson River and the Hudson Valley, how is your district handling the tremendous challenge of this COVID-19 crisis, would you say?
Well, it's a body blow. We are obviously better off than folks down in the city, and we're worse off than folks further north. So we have had about 1,000 people lose their lives in the counties that I represent in whole or in part. That picks up a larger number in Westchester. If you get up into Putnam and Dutchess and Orange, you're talking about 300 fatalities, several thousands of cases. It's tough. And, of course, the economic crisis that has grown out of the public health crisis is affecting even more people. And that's why it's just so important that we win the war against this epidemic and that we reopen the country.
Absolutely. Now, maybe you could just comment on how the hospitals in your area are doing, and in particular the nursing homes, where there have been across the country in New York City, there have been some real tragedies. How are they doing?
Yeah, the nursing homes are the places I worry about the most. It's because we know we have a very vulnerable population, and once the virus gets loose in the nursing home, you can see a catastrophic death toll. We have been banging on the state to get better data out. There are some understandable privacy concerns around people's individual health information, but we now have, we prevailed on the state to give us nursing home by nursing home data. So if folks have a loved one in a nursing home, you can find out what's going on there. It's not great. I mean, I think we've seen at many of the nursing homes I represent about a 10% fatality rate already.
Wow.
from the virus. Now that's the number of deaths that have occurred during this period. Some of there would be in any normal month a certain number of deaths, but so trying to understand exactly the data around fatalities relating to COVID that would not have otherwise taken place is the key, but it's alarming. And I'll tell you what we don't have is we don't have data yet out of the VA system. And while there are not a huge number of veterans in residence in a nursing home facility type setting at places like Castle Point, we want to make sure we understand what's happening there. And we're working closely with our Veterans Advisory Group and with Castle Point directly to make sure that the best practices are being followed.
And just on that direction, the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Guard, from New York State, who we follow closely, have been very active throughout New York City and in the area. Certainly doctors and nurses from both the Army and the Navy have been helping in New York City and the area. What resources from the federal government, from the military, have been helpful in your area?
Well, you've absolutely seen the role the National Guard played in Westchester with helping the early situation in New Rochelle. Obviously the military has been critical in terms of setting up field hospitals, the Army Corps of Engineers working with the governor to do that, to have that surge capacity in a hospital system. Most of that is south of my area, but only just south. So the Westchester County Center would be an example of an overflow facility that would have served my district. We were planning for some up here. God willing, we are off the peak of this thing, and we will be able to absorb in the existing hospital capacity the ongoing high number of cases, but declining number of cases. But the Army and the National Guard, active duty reserve folks have been absolutely essential, as they always are in a crisis.
And certainly on the financial side in Washington, Congress and the president approved the $2 trillion stimulus bill. And then the payroll protection plan, which has put, by our numbers, $349 billion into small businesses. But still, 800,000 small businesses were not able to be processed, according to the news reports I saw yesterday. And I understand the key measure this week is to try to get another funding plan for this and possibly bills to help hospitals and local government communities. What do you see happening this week as next steps in a federal financial response to the area and to small businesses?
Well, what's going to happen is you've got to get more of these forgivable loans to small businesses. In New York, we've only had about 20% of eligible payrolls covered to date under that program. It's three, four times that number in other states that are far less affected, and that has people pretty upset. I don't blame them. The initial rollout of this was confusing and bungled, frankly, by the Small Business Administration. They are getting their ducks in a row. The program is already oversubscribed. The first thing we're going to do this week is double its size. So there will be another $350 billion thereabouts, most likely, provided to SBA to continue to make these small business loans, these forgivable loans. A lot of small business folks in our area are feeling lied to because they kept their employees on and they still haven't been able to get the money. Now, that should be retroactive, so they should be made whole, but we got to keep that promise. That money's got to get in the pipeline. That's job one this week. You're right, we've got to keep supporting our hospitals because they are taking a huge hit, but doing heroic work. And we do have to help states like New York and cities like New York City that are going to take a huge hit to their budgets in responding to the epidemic. That should happen on a national level as well. It's not just New York. It'll be lots of places. But that's akin to a national response following a disaster where we need to come together as a country and support New York and other places hardest hit. All that to happen.
Absolutely. And one of the key questions is to begin to reopen businesses. And it's been a question really since day one is testing, availability of testing kits and materials to do widespread testing. Speaker Pelosi was talking about this yesterday on the news shows. How do you see the availability of testing and protective equipment for medical technicians and doctors, nurses becoming available?
Well, it's all been too little, too late. Anybody who's been paying attention knows that we have bungled this as a country compared to other places that have done a much better job, other countries around the world. I mean, look at the way the Germans responded, look at the way the South Koreans responded. With a far smaller population, they've done hugely more testing, and they have had a much better experience with the epidemic. It's pretty basic. So we've got to keep getting that pressure put on until the administration gets a national program of testing. In New York, we're doing better than any other state, but it's still not enough. And we're not just talking about being able to test you to find out if you have the virus. Really what we need to do, and I'm glad to see the governor is now doing what's called survey testing for antibodies. They're going to test about 3,000 people, the Department of Health will, in the coming days, to see who has had exposure to the virus and resolved it. You should have an antibody in your bloodstream if that's the case. We can go out and test people randomly to find out, get a good sense of what percentage of the population has been exposed to the virus. And that becomes really important if we want to know who can go back to work, can we open up, you know, how many people are walking around with immunity. So you've got to do antibody testing as you reopen. Got to do the virus testing on the front end if you have any hope of containing, tracing contact, containing the spread. You got to do both, and you got to do much more of both. And we can do that, but it has happened way too slowly, and it has just been too little at this point.
And the president last week and the vice president announced a three-phase plan to reopen the country, and feeling some areas of the country might be able to open up sooner than certainly maybe our area here in Westchester and the Hudson Valley, New York City. The first phase was announced, but the last line of that says requires robust testing be available. How do you feel the New York area, that your district, would be able to prepare to meet the first criteria in order to open up in phase one?
Well, what I can tell you is that because we have had a strong program here at the state level, we are going to be in better shape than other places. Now, we've had much more of the pandemic here than other places, and so that's necessary. But we are both developing much greater capacity to do the testing for the virus in New York at our labs here by entities that are resident in New York, to have faster results of those tests so people can get a result in time to do them some good, and to ramp up the antibody testing. If we continue to do that, we're going to be in a much better position to open up with some knowledge behind it, not just hoping for the best, but with a confidence level that we have turned the corner on this thing. Now, that's going to happen in stages, and it's going to happen in ways that keep us all safer than we would be otherwise. I mean, if you go to Home Depot right now, there are only 70 people out in the store. Everybody's wearing a mask. There's sanitizers and a bunch of new procedures around distancing. So I think you'll see businesses under those kind of public health restrictions, even if they start opening again. But we got to start opening again. But look, you got to win the war first. You got to know that you're not making the problem worse. Otherwise, we're just back in the soup for longer, and the economic crisis gets even worse. So it's a tricky balance, but you can do it if you're armed with the right amount of testing.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to ask you, you serve on the House Intelligence Committee and overseas. The North Koreans did another missile test last week. The Afghanistan peace negotiations have been on and off. Concerns about China and others making moves during this worldwide crisis period. Are there any key concern areas that you see with adversaries overseas?
Well, you named a number of them. I think I'd be very concerned about the temptation of some of our adversaries to use this opportunity to test our resolve in places like the South China Sea or say, Taiwan. I do think the Iranians are always going to be looking to take advantage of any perceived weakness by the United States. The Russians may continue to be involved in spreading disinformation online and the sort of malign influence we've seen in social media as a way to create dissent and sow chaos in the West. The North Koreans, you bet, have not stopped their determination to develop an intercontinental ICBM nuclear capability. So we can't afford to take our eye off the ball. You know, that's why the military folks need to be kept safe. They need to have the best testing. They need to be able to perform these missions in a way where, you know, the readiness of our forces is not in doubt. And that's why it's so important to make sure that we're getting on top of this pandemic rapidly before we start losing ships like the Roosevelt.
What was your feeling on that incident? The Navy certainly struggling with the COVID crisis, the Roosevelt situation, also the USS Harry Truman coming back from a seven-month deployment. It was not allowed to come back into Virginia to avoid taking on COVID infection in its crew as a ready carrier. How do you feel the U.S. military is handling and maintaining its preparedness?
Well, it's hard not to be just impressed with the level of heroism and commitment to the mission that you see every day by members of the military. I mean, look, this is not – members of the military sign up for dangerous jobs. They know they're going to be put in harm's way from time to time. But this is different. This if we mismanage the health of our sailors or our airmen, our soldiers, our Marines, because we are failing to do adequate testing, proper social distancing, proper procedures in these close-knit communities like aboard a ship, then we are doing that to ourselves. Those are self-inflicted wounds that end up weakening our readiness and tempting our enemy. So we've got to take care of our own. We have to be proactive about that. I think that skipper of the Roosevelt is a hero. I think he was standing up for his soldiers, and he was trying to take a bad situation and keep it from getting worse. But people can disagree about that. But what we all ought to agree on is that you've got to keep the troops safe so they can perform the mission. They should not be in harm's way because of our own carelessness or poor procedures.
Absolutely. And Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, representing Hudson Valley 18th District. Do you have a final thought for our audience today?
Listen, just God bless all our military families, all those who serve. You know, I do represent the United States Military Academy at West Point. I got about 25% of my constituents are military families. My own dad served on the USS Manchester. I was banged up pretty badly. My grandfather served in World War One. We've got to keep faith with that community. And now more than ever, we see how much we rely on people who wear the uniform. So I hope people know that, appreciate that. We need to keep our commitment to our military folks and their families. So God bless you all.
Absolutely. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, representing the New York 18th Congressional District. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for all that you and members of Congress, both sides of the aisle, are doing to try to manage and this crisis of COVID-19. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. Stay safe.
Take care. And that is Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, the second time he's been a guest on Sons of the American Legion Radio. We appreciate his time joining us today. He's in the district up in Hudson Valley. And so a great briefing on what's happening there and from Congress. So for Sons of the American Legion Radio and program of Squadron 135 in White Plains, New York, this is Ken Kratzer.